Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon. How are you going?
I'm good. Now, Peter, interestingly, Victoria University have just put out a fairly broad study of trust in New Zealand. Who do we trust in New Zealand from 2016 to 2019?
And deliberately focusing, Johnny, on the sort of pre- and post-mosque attack, because, you know, that raises issues of sort of suspicions and doubts, which certainly in the American context, these sorts of incidents often produce changes in figures.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, as they were doing the research and the mosque attacks happened, they went, oh, wow, this is a fairly unique event for us to maybe see some significant changes?
Yes, I think so. I think they were expecting to see some striking alterations. Of course, there's been this long tradition in New Zealand that we're amazingly accepting of authorities. Imagine if this poll had been done in Hong Kong, what sorts of results you would have about trust in the authorities. Mm. It must be at an all-time low. But after this in New Zealand, overall, trust seems to have got stronger. Mm.
The police,
the medical practitioners, etc., etc. It's the religious bodies that are really quite interesting, I think.
Mm-hmm. What have been the most interesting results from the religious point of view?
Well, I find them bemusing in some ways. Mm. So they show that, as their headline says, the Buddhists are the most trustworthy religious group in New Zealand and the evangelicals the least trustworthy in New Zealand.
Starting with the evangelicals, starting with the Buddhists, why would the Buddhists be the most trusted? What have they done historically that has, you know, got them into this position?
Well indeed. I mean, that is a very puzzling question in some ways. Because I would have thought that very few people would have any direct contact
with Buddhists,
with Buddhist communities. They probably, I wonder how many people would know Buddhist organizations. They might know Buddhist. See, the heading says trust in different religious groups. Mm. And of course, many people would have Buddhist friends. Most of them, Southeast Asians, I would have thought, people from Indonesia right through to China and Japan. And yet, the actual Buddhist organizations are very low profile in New Zealand.
Do you think it's just like a broader imagined sort of perception that people have of Buddhists in general?
Yes, I think so. Mm. I think in general in New Zealand we have a very benign view of Buddhists as being peace-loving and generous people.
Yes.
And that we presume that their organisations are much the same.
Mm.
And I'm not necessarily challenging that, although I think you might have quite a different perception if you were in Myanmar.
Yeah.
Or in Sri Lanka, where Buddhism in a majority position tends out to be pretty much like everybody else. surprise. Still, it's a strikingly higher. So 6.9% of the population have complete trust in Buddhists.
Mm.
So at that end, and then another 28% have got
lots of trust.
Yep. And then only 4.3% have no trust. Mm. At all in Buddhists. Though again, I don't know why, right, they have to have no trust in Buddhists.
Mm. The evangelicals,
at the other extreme,
at the other end of the spectrum, is this all thanks to Brian Tamaki?
Well, see, this is an interesting question, because would you use the term evangelical with Brian Tamaki, or would you use it with Israel Folau? I'm not sure.
Mm. I guess people probably broadly think of them both being in the same sort of basket, don't they?
Yes, I think it must be that. Mm. The date of the collection of data is fairly important in this respect, to see where the Israel Folau comes into it. And, of course, there was early stuff by Israel Folau even last year. So I presume that that will have affected.
And there's also, I guess you got Brian Tamaki after the mosque shootings, calling out the call to prayer, and you know making a big fuss about that. So he's probably not doing himself any favour.
I think that's the obvious way to interpret the evangelical result, which is, again, one can say it's a bit unfair.
Yeah.
Because I mean, these are both pretty sectarian edges of the evangelical population, but I suspect that really does flow on to other. You know, I mean, effectively, the extremists always help to define what the majority think about an organisation.
How much door knocking is going on by evangelical Christians at the moment? Because that would that flow into it as well? People just getting ticked off that evangelicals are calling on them at dinner time.
Yes, I heard that comment on TV this morning, and I couldn't think of any evangelical organisation that does any door knocking.
Yeah, I haven't experienced it, so I was like, is there any truth to this?
No, I think there's no truth to that at all.
Yeah.
And so I think one's got to assume these are media perceptions rather than individual contacts.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to note that the people having complete trust in evangelicals is a bit higher than those having complete trust in Catholics at 4.8%. And that, frankly, is not surprising because, I mean, a very large proportion of Catholics have considerable suspicion of their church at the moment.
Yeah.
But there's a very, very large margin of people. If you add together those who've got lots of trust and complete trust in evangelicals, that's very, very low indeed. So that's about 20%, whereas for Catholics it's about 25%, or maybe 26%. So there's a... And there's 13.7% who've got no trust at all. And I think that those who, like Brian Tamaki, think he's got a brand that's going to, you know, carry some weight, ought to have some cautions, because I can't see them hitting 5% in the dreamiest of worlds for a political party if their trust factor is so low.
Yeah. Now, interestingly, atheists and agnostics have got a reasonable amount of trust as well, Peter.
I think atheists and agnostics do better than mainstream religious people. Distinctly higher than Protestants, Catholics, Muslims, and evangelicals. And when you think about it, the ones above atheists and agnostics are there's Buddhists, then Jews, then Hindus.
Mm.
And then comes atheists and agnostics.
Mm.
And, you know, again, my argument would be, I think most people would know, although are atheists and agnostics a religious group?
I don't know.
I mean, I think really the question was, how much trust do you have in the following people or groups of people living in New Zealand? So I take it that you would interpret that kind of question. They must have been given each of these options to respond to, and they would be responding to, as individuals, atheists and agnostics inspire their trust, and more people are inspired with trust for them than are inspired with trust for Catholics, for example. And after the concerns over clerical abuses, I guess that's probably the reason why.
To be honest, I would have thought that the Catholics would have come out worst off. I know that they're second to the bottom, but given all the scandal and terrible cover-up work that the Catholic Church seems to be doing worldwide, I'm surprised they didn't scrub up worse off.
Yes, precisely. So if international reputation is what gave Buddhists their strength, then it should have given Catholics a very severe weakness. But it is interesting that in New Zealand, although there are some scandals, they're relatively minor compared to what the Australians are facing as yet. Of course, once we get to the Royal Commission, we may discover a whole lot more. But I agree with you. It's most surprising that the Catholic negative vote is 7.7%, which is lower than the general Protestant negative vote of 9.8%, let alone the evangelical negative vote of
13.7%.
So, you know, factors that seem to come to play in these is the lower your public profile,
the higher you've scored.
The higher your score.
Yeah.
It's a slightly cynical interpretation, but it does seem to make some sense. Because, again, public Hindu worship is, you know, pretty modest in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But lots of people would know the Hindu dairy owner, you know, and so that would probably be the major factor that they would draw.
Yes.
And probably have quite a sympathy for.
Yeah.
But then you see the other aspect that's mighty intriguing, Johnny, is the Muslim negative vote. When you see, the interpretation says there's been very little effect from the mosque shooting. And the general impression I've gained is that the terrible events in Christchurch have led to a lot of sympathy for Muslims, a real rise in the sympathy for Muslims.
Yes.
Well, if that's the case, then the result that they have there would have been significantly lower before this result. So it's showing a negative, no trust at all at 6.3%, and their second lowest in their result, no, third lowest in their result at 5.1% of complete trust. So they're third from the bottom, above evangelicals and Catholics. You know, in some ways you would say, well, what more information would we have on Muslims in New Zealand than on Hindus, Jews and Buddhists? Not much more, I wouldn't have thought. So there's still a real negative perception of Muslims globally that seems to show into these figures.
Yeah, for sure. It's interesting, I guess, because the question was phrased, how much trust do you have in the following people or groups of people living in New Zealand? But obviously there is that international perspective crossing over into it.
I think, despite the living in New Zealand phrase, the other bit must have crossed over to some extent.
For sure.
Yeah.
All right, Peter. Hey, very interesting. Thank you for taking the time to chat to me this afternoon. We'll check in with you next week.
Brilliant. Okay, take care.
Bye.